All right. Let's begin. What I wanted to do, and I think that we will finish this next week, is to discuss the halachos of Hatovu Meitiv. And the truth is, Hatovu Meitiv begins with wine and benching. But really, I think the place where it's most important is when we do a deal of other cases where Hatovu Meitiv is relevant, but I want to go to the halachos of wine first because it's relative there also. But I think there's an important halacha to keep in mind that we'll get to it. So he says like this. So last week we introduced ourselves to it, and what the idea of Hatovu Meitiv is to realize the abundant goodness that God gives us. And it's always there. Now, I would just tell you, it's interesting. We have to, you know, with whatever challenges we go through, we have to realize that, yes, there is such a case of, you know, we say, die on the emet, right? And what is die on the emet? It means that God is true. We don't say necessarily that Dayan, that's Dan Ra. Even though it says, the way the world was created, there have to be certain things in this world which we perceive to be not so good. What can I tell you? It's one of the rules of the world.
We even do that in
Shachris,
when we say,
yeah. Right,
so the Pasuk is really
over. The Pasuk Shayo says, but Bari Ra. Okay, and I think the Malvim brings down the Rambam. Very simply, what does that mean? He says, why can't God make the whole world good? He says, just like God cannot take a triangle and make it into four corners, right? The world has to have these things that are happening. Okay, and so we have to look at this perspective. Obviously, sometimes it's very difficult, very challenging. If anyone is dealing with this challenge, or someone's talking on deals this challenge, you just know this is a very good book. If God is good, why is the world so bad? By Rabbi Benjamin Blech. Okay. It was written in response to Rabbi Kushner's book. Rabbi Kushner wrote a book about he had a different name for a book, but that was he basically pointed out, Rabbi Kushner wanted to say that yes, God is good, people are good, and God's not totally in control. And he really explains how Kadosh Baruch Hu is in control. So I'm just telling you, in other words, so this is not necessarily my issue, because I don't. If God is good, why is the world so bad?
Who's the author again?
Rabbi Benjamin Blech. But it's not necessarily my issue, but I definitely talk to people who have this issue. So it's really because I believe that Baruch Hashem, the world is a very good place. Okay, whatever. World is a good place. You know, thank God. You know, obviously there are challenges, there are problems, but I'm saying. But the point of a Tova Meitiv is to realize, wow, it's amazing. So therefore, if a bottle of wine comes on the table, okay, it's supposed to symbolize the abundant goodness that we have. All right, so let's go on. All right, so the Shulchan Aruch says like this. So when you make a Tova Meitiv, Mevarchin a Tova Meitiv al kol shinu yayin min astam. You go ahead, you make a Tova Meitiv on any new wine that comes to the table. Afilu eini yodei ha-shashenim b'shubach mir rishon. Even if you don't know that the second one is better than the first one. If new wine comes to the table, and you're not sure if the new wine is better than the old wine, because you haven't tasted it yet, right? You make it for Tova Meitiv, which I think really implies that, well, we'll see, Daruch Shulchan asked the question, this really implies is you're supposed to have a positive attitude towards things, yeah?
When you make a Tova Meitiv, just if the bottle comes to the table?
What if the bottle comes on the table and you have intention to drink, you make a Tova Meitiv, right.
Okay. You don't have to drink, because, you know, there's not a mitzvah ceremony.
As a matter of fact, Aruch HaShulchan asked the question, and I think, and I was talking to you, I'm thinking about the answer, all right? So he says, what does Shulchan Aruch say? That as long as, he says, if you don't know, even if you don't know the second one is better than the first one, you should make the bracha.
So you make the bracha before you drink it?
Yes, you make it before you drink.
As soon as it comes to the
table, you want to drink. Now, let's say you had a cup, and you know, this is actually pretty good, I want to make a bracha, it's fine also, okay? You can still the table. But Aruch HaShulchan says this, what do you mean if you're not sure if it's better? He says, not a birchas hanenin.
It's a question of abundance.
That's number one. Number two, taste it. Maybe it's a horrible wine, right? Taste it. So what's the answer? The answer is, Hatova Meitiv is not just about the fact that something good came, it's about our attitude that we have great things. And therefore he says, really the best thing is to make the bracha.
Each person makes the bracha.
So you'll see, actually, anyone who's going to partake in the wine can really make the bracha. Okay?
But if you're not, you don't have to.
I wouldn't make the bracha then. Again, you're right. Okay. Kol shen yodea shugaru menenu. If you don't know that the second wine is worse. But he says, as soon as the wine comes, you can assume, wow, this is good. The ein chiluk, and he says, there's no difference between shneim chadoshim. Whether both are new wines. Now, by the way, new wines, we would go ahead and probably explain to be something similar to what? grape juice, okay? And so, you know, forgive me for saying this, I'm sorry, okay? But let's say, for example, just my own personal opinion, okay? There's certain grape juice here that tastes good, and there's certain grape juice here that tastes pretty bad, okay? What can I tell you? From an American palate, what can I tell you? I'm sorry, right?
Yeah. So you would make it.
We don't
drink the Kenny wine. No, something, you should know, by the way, I actually prefer Israeli grape juice, certain grape juice, to Kenny grape juice. I really do prefer it, okay? I really do. However, there's certain Israeli grape juices, okay?
That's terrible.
Okay. But you can still make a proper guffin. So let's say you make a bar for a geffen on the grape juice, which you don't like so much. Then in the middle of the meal, someone puts on the table a bottle of caramel grape juice. I like caramel grape juice, right? So according to the Shulchan Aruch, you can make a tova meitiv. Okay? This is you make a meitiv, okay? He says, just keep in mind. Which means what he's trying to say is that, you know, I think what Tomate was saying is that, you know, a lot of times, okay, you know, something a little better comes. You don't really appreciate it, but you have to appreciate every little thing that comes into your life. That's the bottom line. It's sort of the opposite of the boiling frog theory. You know the boiling frog theory? Mm-hmm. They put a frog into a hot water, cold water, I'm sorry, and you heat it up, the frog will never feel pain, because little by little, okay? It never feels
the
pain.
What about lobster?
Lobsters also, right. Yeah, lobsters too, right? So he says, the thing, we have something good and something a little better comes, we sort of like, you know, we don't notice it, but you have to notice it. He says, Vafilu shasim manatosh lo shimyon. All right, and even if you had good wine, you know, within 30 days, you still make a bracha when this wine comes again to the table. V'yesh omrim, and then he said like this, is fascinating. Dim shoset chila yayin edom. So in those days, okay, he says, they considered, maybe even today, even Adom.
Red.
He says, if you go ahead and you drank red wine, okay, in those days they considered red wine to be better than white wine, maybe today also. However, white wine, I'm not sure why, was considered more healthy. Okay? He's like this, Yesh Omrim Dim Shasat Chila Yarayin Adom. That you went ahead and you drank red wine first, ve'vilo yain lavan, and then they brought white wine afterwards. Afal pishu yoter garua, even though the white wine is worse, mevarach atov meitiv, you make a tov meitiv lefisha hubari leguf, it's healthier for the body, yoter min ha'adom, more than the red wine. Okay, now I'm not exactly sure why they feel that way. Okay, anyways, okay now. So if you look at source number two, so we said if new wine comes, you can make a tova meitiv, even if you don't know the quality. The Mishnah Berurah says in source number two, always cut in sif cut in zayin. But if you know the second wine is worse, even a little bit, you don't make a new bracha. Okay, you don't make a tova meitiv.
If on Seder night,
what?
On Seder night,
yeah.
You put on the table, I don't know, six different kinds of wine. You make one
hatovah meitiv
for every.
So I would say, yes. First of all, if it's on the table, it's interesting. I got to think about this, by the way. But if you, again, I would just say off the cuff, okay, that if it's on the table and open to start with, okay, then you don't make a tovah meitiv. All right. Yeah. Now, what does that mean? What that means is like this.
Why doesn't that have a tovah?
Because we discussed the Shabbos Chanukah tale, if you don't remember, all right? So, okay, so what happened was, we had a nice bottle of wine during for Kiddush on the table, and then there was a nice bottle of wine with a cork inside of it during Kiddush, and I wanted to have some after Kiddush. So the thing was, I realized, oh my gosh, it's on the table. But in other words, it's not only that it has to be on the table, it has to be ready and available to be drunk at that moment, okay? And if it's the cork, if the original cork is in there with a plastic on top of it, it's not, and therefore you can go ahead and make a bracha. So that would be the determining factor.
For example, we open them.
Mm-hmm. What?
We open the wines before Seder night.
Yes, I don't think. Second of all, the other problem is that when you go ahead and you drink more wine on the Seder night as opposed to a regular meal,
you're supposed to drink more wine.
But no, that's number one. But that's not the issue. The issue is that a regular meal, you make one bracha and you're never starting over. Seder night, at least for Ashkenazim, we're always starting over. So I'm not sure you should make a tovah meitiv, okay? Unless you have it during the meal, okay? Let's go on. That's what I would say. Now he says. He's snout.
He says.
Now, he says, if you know that the wine is, you know for sure, it's not just that, you know, it's not just that you think you're not sure, it might be a little bit worse than the wine you started off the meal with, right? But if, he says, if you're mistopic and maybe you think it's really bad, then you shouldn't make a bracha. Okay. So then he says, the Shulchan Aruch says that it doesn't make with both wines are new, both wines are old, you're still making a bracha. He says, a new bracha. So it doesn't make a difference. You don't make a bracha for a gafen, right? He says, and if it's two types of grape juice, you could still make a tov meitiv. However, Mishnah Berurah points out, he's gotten yud, that he says if you went ahead and you made bar per hagafen on good wine, okay, I don't know, Tepperberg wine, right? Then someone brings a bottle of Kedem grape juice to the table. They always say, we'll go what people think is the best. Some people think is the best. Okay? So then you don't make a tova meitiv. You can't make a tova meitiv from wine to grape juice. Grape juice to wine you can. Grape juice to grape juice you can. You can't make them from wine to grape juice. I guess the reason is because even if you really like grape juice, okay? But right.
No.
Yeah. He says now. So he says
your local sommelier would not approve.
Yeah, he says Yosem mean Adom. He says, however, so therefore, someone went ahead and started off with red wine. You can make a tov meitiv on white wine because it's healthy. All right. However, if you drink white wine first, all right, he says, and then they brought red wine to the table. You can only make the tova meitiv in red wine, no, red wine is better. Why? Because what happens is that when it comes to white wine and red wine, white wine instinctively is better because white wine supposedly is healthier. Okay? Again, I don't know why. All right? So therefore, you can only make a bracha on the red wine if you know that the red wine definitely tastes better. Now, I would say today, if you were to go around and ask, all right? So, first, by the way, that's interesting because What's the ingredient they add to wine that's not so good for people? What is this ingredient?
Sulfites,
right? So let's say, for example, okay, I don't know. Let's say you have a regular wine and then you bring a wine to the table, right? Which might not be as good as the first wine, but doesn't have sulfites, right? So based on this, you should be able to make a dovmative. Why? Because it's healthier. Okay, that's where this is very relevant to us today. Okay, fine. Okay, very good. Now, so source number three. Ain levarach hatov meitiv. You don't make a tov meitiv. Eli and Cain. Yesh acher imo. Someone's with you. The hachi mashma hatov lo. It's good for you. Meitiv lachavero and meitiv lachavero. The best way to enjoy this world is when you enjoy about other people. That's the bottom line. Vihu adinim ishto uvanav imo. Avhu yachidi lo. All right. Now he says. Now the Mishnah Berurah Pesach source number four. As I said, that it only works if they're joining you. Bishoto me oto ayayin. He says, and also in order for to make the tov meitiv, your friend has to be a shutaf in that wine. Okay, what is another? So therefore, if you have someone over your house and a bottle of wine comes to the table, right? You can't make a tov meitiv unless you have family there because the wine has to belong to both people. All right, that's the
Can I just go back to the other question? Say you have, my parents all do this, they bring a bottle of red wine, a bottle of white wine, they're both good wines.
Yeah.
Do you say the bracha twice for the two bottles? They say, do you want red or do you want white?
No, it's another. If it's on the table, you make a bracha.
It is on the table.
They're both open?
Yeah.
You make Berurah Geffen, that's it. Okay, it's only if, when you make Berurah Geffen, the wine, other wine was not available. It was not available.
So if you're just making Berurah Geffen on one wine,
yeah,
then there's no kolo meitiv.
No, you're making a second one. If it wasn't ready to be drunk at the time, I made Berurah Geffen. Okay. What? Okay.
Yeah, you remember, so
opening a regular
is only on the second bottle.
Right. Opening a regular bottle of wine, you know, with a that's considered ready already, but a cork is already a whole gansamaisa.
But if
so,
you've uncorked it, but it's not on the table. You also sit on the table.
Yeah, if it's uncorked on the table, you know, I'm thinking. But he says then also you can make it tovmeitiv. Yes, for sure. Okay. But yeah, he's like this now. Okay. Now she says. He says. he says, now. So then the Mishnah Berurah adds something else I should have pointed out. He quotes the Magen Avraham. He's like this. So again, and by the way, this probably, I think, because of this, even if you have a guest, you could probably go ahead and you could probably say a Tov Meitiv. What is it? He says, when do you say that I can't make a Tov Meitiv unless there are other people who have a shutvis in it, is if I'm pouring the wine, right? And therefore, if you want the wine, you have to ask me, right? And I will pour the wine for you, right? But if I put the bottle of wine on the table, and anybody can take from it without asking permission, I know this sounds crazy, right? Then you can make a Tov Meitiv, okay? Because that's sort of like everyone has this... I'll give an example. Okay? When I pour schnapps at my Shabbos meal, okay, there it's very, very clear. The schnapps is by me, and you can only have schnapps if I pour you a cup for a chayim. That's the bottom line, okay? What's the reason why? Because you need to, what?
Control.
You need to get control, okay? We put wine on the table, the wine stays, and I'm going to take from the wine on the table. So if we would make a Tov Meitiv on schnapps, which we don't, okay, then in that situation, I'm not sure if I had a guest, if anyone could go ahead and anybody could make the bracha Tov Meitiv. When it comes to wine, the Magen Avraham says, since it's on the table, so he says, name will take, right? So then
but only one person makes the bracha, though, right?
Let's look, hold on. Let's go. Third, number four. Because of Magen Avraham, the Gam HaBala Bais Tachlan Bar Barzuv, Alvin Nim Zen, Losha Bais, Evin Der Kankan Al Shulchan, Lishtos, Mishi Yirtze, Havi Kishutvis. He says, anyone can take whatever wine, it's like the partnership, but Yachal Avarech Levarech, he says, in the end, Nerech also can make a bracha, which means anyone can go make the bracha, but I want to point out, and this is very important, you can only make the bracha, right, if you feel blessed by Kadosh Baruch Hu after you have this wine. All right, that's the important thing. In other words, it shouldn't be, oh yeah, Baruch Hashem, I can make a bracha. You know what I'm saying? No, it's not about that. The bracha of a Tov Meitiv has to come from a certain inner feeling. All right? And therefore, what it creates is in a certain sense, to recognize the greatness that we have. It's like I mentioned a few weeks ago, when you make a bracha Zanenin, you always have to make a bracha, no matter what you're thinking, right? But the Kuzari says before you make a bracha, you're supposed to think, wow, this is unbelievable, I have this, right? And that's really what Hatova Meitiv is all about. He says, now, if you look four lines to the bottom, Mishnah Berurah says, and the Achronim say you should only make a bracha Hatova Meitiv if both people drank from both wines. However, if only two drank from one wine and one drank from the second wine, or vice versa, you don't make the bracha. He says you don't make the bracha achrona. And the achronim say, and the three lines at the bottom, number four, that
did you just say you don't make a bracha achrona?
No, you mean you don't make a bracha.
No, right. In other words, no, what I'm saying is right. Now the achronim write that birchas tova meitiv, you can make a bracha even after you drink. He says, in other words, that you have the wine in your mouth, they're saying, make a Tov Meitiv. So you swallow, make the bracha then, right? However, he says, if you already drank, and the wine's all gone, the new wine's all gone, he went to the second bottle, and I'm like, no, you shouldn't make the Tov Meitiv, but if obviously there's still, he says, if there's still wine in the bottle, right? Then you can make it open mate. Okay, that's the halacha. I would just point out again, the most important part of this is that you have to realize, you have to be happy that you have this wine. A person who doesn't really enjoy wine, I wouldn't make the bracha. All right, now. Okay.
And it's never on Kiddush wine. Say you use $1,000 bottle of wine.
Kiddush. No, it's only if you drink wine first at Barba Geffen and a new wine comes to the table. And as a matter of fact, if you make Kiddush on $1,000 bottle of wine, you probably can't make a Tova Meitiv, because I'm sure any wine that comes afterwards is probably much worse compared to it, okay? It's got to be a wine which might be closer or a little better, all right? So he says like this, okay? So when you have that $1,000 of wine, it might be over for Kiddush, okay? All right, let's go on, okay? Okay, let's go on. All right. He did like this. Number five. In Rabin Mesubim Vesuda. Okay, this is an important question you ask. Let's say there are many people who are drinking in the Suda. Kol Echad Mevarech La'atzma Tova Meitiv Lechul Gulam. Everyone should make Tova Meitiv by themselves. Why is that? Because, in other words, if someone's making a bracha for you, you have to answer
Amen.
And let's say I make the bracha Tova Meitiv, right? And somebody else next to me who wants to answer Amen, because one person makes Tova Meitiv, is bottom line in the process of swallowing a piece of steak.
right? And what happens if they say amen while they're swallowing the steak? God forbid, you can choke. So because in the middle of a suda, the halacha is that everybody should make their own bracha, okay?
Below, no one answers
amen.
You
don't answer amen if you hear the bracha.
You could, but the bottom line is that if you're eating something, you won't, okay? You're even supposed to answer amen. You have to understand that there are still hagdaros when you answer amen. Below, bracha lekulam, the chashin sheyikdim, ukanu leveshet, right, that, you know, you might choke. Kishiyano amen. But if you're having a wine party and there's no eating going on, right? So then one person makes the bracha. Everybody, I think the reason is very simple. As we know, since you're all together, we know when you're all together, it's always better for one person to make the bracha because of Rovam Hadras Melech. Fine, very good. Okay, now, so fine, that's Hilchas Brachas Tov Meitiv Am Yayin. We can move on. So now we come to a halacha which maybe we should all be more machped on, and this is something which I think our generation has to really consider very carefully and take recommendations. And it goes like this. And it goes in both ends, by the way, I have to tell you. And I don't know. We don't do this enough, all right? And I'm going to start with the first sif in the Shulchan Aruch, which I enjoy talking about, and sif beis I don't. I'll explain to you why in a second, but I guess I should do it. Al shmuo sheheim tovu lo levado. You hear a shmua, which is good for you.
What is that?
Good news, okay? Mevarech shechiyanu, you make a shechiyanu. Mehem tovos lo lacherim, make a bracha that's good for you and for others.
It's something good for you.
You win the lottery. Mevarech hatova meitiv.
You see how the kineret's gone up by 15 centimeters.
That could be real. It's interesting. I mean, the only thing is that you should just know that actually it's fascinating because, so you're right, okay? I got to think about that because... And I don't know, the question is, I'll tell you why. I don't know, there are brachas you make when it rains, okay? And it says someone has a field, he should make a tova meitiv, okay? Question, what if someone doesn't have a field, okay? I don't know. I gotta think about that. It's a good question. Because there's a circuit like that, okay? We'll discuss it in the next few weeks. I'll get to it. Fine. All right. It's a very good question. So he says, I was thinking more things that are more personal. See, he says like this. Source number 7.
That's very interesting. There was a man on the radio. They had the Mithal HaPayis called up this guy to say, hello, you won $100,000.
Yeah.
And the first thing he said was this bracha.
Oh, that's great. Okay, so they said, V'davka sheshamen pi Adam Neman, shiro adavar. It's all he heard from Adam Neman. And look at this Magen Avraham. Okay, this always puts things into perspective to understand what things were like in the old days. This is Magen Avraham. Okay, someone who is very poor, he's poverty stricken, and let's say his first wife passed away, and he has children, he can't support them, right? He has nothing to do. So because that, someone says, "I have a great shidduch for you. There's this wealthy woman, she's a widow, and you marry her, she will support you, you're all good, right?" And the truth is, he doesn't really want to marry her. He's just like, whatever reason it is, I don't know. She screams a lot, I have no idea, right? But he does it because he has no choice. Okay? This is life. Okay, right? Okay, okay. So if you look, just to understand how these shilas come up. Okay, okay. The Mishnah Berurah says now. He says. Okay, so fine. And the Mishnah Berurah mentions it now.
What does levado mean? Just for you personally? What about for your immediate family?
No, that's good. Let's say, for example, you have either a man or a lady that are not married yet, okay? And and they're the type of people that if they want a lottery ticket, they wouldn't support it. They wouldn't help their parents or their siblings out with it, right? And with a lottery, you make a shachiyano, right? But if you're married, obviously you make a tova meitiv.
Or right. You got a good raise.
You got a good raise or something, right? Okay. So he says like this, you know, or like I'll give you an example. Let's say you have a person that has a certain job. He doesn't like his job, but it brings in a salary, right? And then he's offered a different job with the same salary, right? As far as wife and kids are concerned, it's the same. As far as he's concerned, it's very different. So he would make a shechiyanu.
Come home happy.
It could be yes, could be not. You have to discuss that, okay? Maybe he's the kind of person that comes home happy no matter what. As a matter of fact, maybe for his family it's worse because usually he comes home very happy. Oh, thank God I'm out of that job, right?
But he's not
Yeah, anyway, see, so
it's now. It's hard to think of something that just affects one
person. No, no, no. And I would say,
by the
way, I would say, so, well, if you look at Surah Tamra, this is very important, okay? Just really. Now, the next halacha, which I don't like, which maybe we should discuss anyways, is when you hear bad news, okay? And bad news can mean, you know, let's just say you invested $15,000 in something, and $15,000 shekel, and you lost your money. That's bad news also. It's not something. See, what bracha do you make then? You make a bracha dying amos. Okay, it's part of life, right? As I said, but you have to hear from Adam Neman. Okay, what does Adam Neman mean? The Mishurusim, right? That a person saw it himself. All right. However, he says, but if you hear from somebody you really can't trust 100%, like the news today, right? So he says, so you should not go ahead and you should not make the bracha, okay? You know, many years ago, someone broke into our house. And the truth of the matter is, they stole our car. The truth is, we didn't know that they stole our car until they found our car, okay? So let's say the cops call and say, we found your car, okay? So you shouldn't make the tova meitiv until
you see what
you get. You get the car back, right? That's true, also. All right. So he says, what does that mean? So, you know, there's a story. It's so hard to believe this story, but they say it's true. That my aunt Shalama speaks about it in her book. That, you know, when Reb Chaim was nifter in Warsaw, so I think my grandfather was living in Rasen, Russia. And obviously in those days, you know, it wasn't so easy to get news. And again, I'm not sure where he was living. My grandfather had a dream that Reb Chaim was standing on a ship by the shore, and he was standing on the shore, and the shore and the ship was pulling out ashore. Reb Chaim was waving at him from the ship, okay? And he woke up screaming, okay? But he didn't hear Kriya or make a Dayan Emes until he went and clarified. And I think he traveled to the city and he clarified that Reb Chaim was Nifter. Okay, so that is, that's a crazy story. All right, let's go on. Okay, now. So he says, the Mishnah Berurah says at the very end.
It doesn't count as.
Yeah, I don't think so. And Mishnah Berurah says at the end of source on the 8th, he says, and today, for whatever reason, we minimizing these brachas. I don't know why. All right? He says, and if you go ahead and you look at the Piskei Tshuvas, source number 9, he says, "Barakas Mishnah Berurah, B'shem V'Megadim, Shayom Atim Brachas Eilu, U'mikol Makol, Hasomech Levarach Brachas Eilu." Someone who wants to make these brachas to Simcha, go at the libo, and it's very important. It's sort of like the Simcha in his heart is overpowering. You want the other, right? So he says, "V'yesh lo amal mismoch, the shapir oven. You have what to be somachan, and it's good." But he says, however, if you don't make a bracha, you should be very careful when you hear good news to thank Hashem. Ba'omer hodul Hashem kitov kilam chazdo v'yivake shekein yazrei Hashem yizbarach ala asim. See, if we don't make the bracha when you hear very good news, you have to go ahead. And there comes Baruch. I have a brother that got engaged at 33 years old. My parents were very worried about it. Extremely, they're very worried, right? And I remember when the call came in, they got engaged. I was in my bedroom. I didn't even hear the call. And all of a sudden, like I hear like banging around the room. Can I borrow this for a second?
Sure.
Okay. My father had a cane. So, and it's like this. It was like 12:30 at night. So I knock on the door. Is everything okay? And my parents were dancing. Okay. They got out of bed and they started dancing. Okay. Okay. But the truth is, that's what you're supposed to do. Okay. If you don't make a bracha, you're supposed to be in a Kaddish Baruch Hu. And when a child of 33 years old gets engaged, the simcha is go of the libo. All
right. Actually, my youngest daughter got engaged. Yeah. My husband's quite a few years. He was about 36, 37.
Yeah.
His mother said to me, "Ani kama b'hodaya, ani olech gishon b'hodaya."
Yeah.
So,
right.
You
right.
Sat in the
show. Right.
I walked in the house, there
Miriam Greenlow.
Rabbi Gedaliah came up and said, Miriam's engaged. Yeah. I ran downstairs.
Baruch Hashem. Yeah. Anyway, so let's look. Let's look at the Rosh Hashanah. It's very important. Three lines from the bottom, source number 10. The Ena Vivura Mandik or Shmua Tova. We don't know what a Shmua Tova is. The Nira Shitzarach Lios Tova Chashuva Shishamach Zaharve and Simcha Shalmamon. It's got to be a simcha which just overtakes you. What does that mean, overtakes you? I think it means is that you can't think about anything else. All right? That's what it means, all right? He says, "Behemitz acheres u'mamon tov lefi ashiraso v'niyoso," and obviously, depending, you know, how much it is, you know. So, for some people, if they win a lottery of 30,000 shekel, not a big deal, okay? I would assume for most of us here, if we won 30,000 shekel, we'd probably be quite happy, okay? So he says like this. He says, "Demashal ani hu davar gadol chavlasha davar kad mechov inyan abrachas elohim b'shem amalchus," and he says, "It's b'shem amalchus." Aruch Hashulchan says, and therefore I would say very clearly, I don't understand why when people get engaged, okay? And there are people when they get engaged are extremely happy, and it just overtakes them, and they, you know, you see the whole change. Why don't they make a bracha? Anyways, I don't know. It's a good question. If anyone has an answer, you can let me know. Okay? Yeah, okay.